You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro from Sesfin Securities in Johannesburg. David, it's all geopolitics. And when I try and rustle up some interviews with fund managers and they say, well, what would you like to talk about? I have to hesitate because I can't say politics because they can't seem to be aligned to one particular view when it comes to politics because certain of their really big investors don't like that. So there's nothing to say because there's tariff fatigue at the moment. People have said, OK, there's going to be tariffs, so what? Let's get on with it. And on that note, by the way, there's been $154 billion flooding into mutual funds in the United States of America up to the 20th of February, which is the best year ever. So people don't seem to care, David.
No. I think you get to a point where you don't understand what's happening. You know, you can't put it all together. And you go back to the basics and start looking at the underlying businesses and trying to work out how they're going to operate and what they look like in the future. And there is so much noise around, call it geopolitics, particularly Trump,
yes, that
it's impossible to make a decision. Some people are deciding not to do anything, but I think that's the wrong decision. I'm quite happy with where the market is,
yes, certainly
in the US, even Europe now. And I was just looking at China. I have not been positive on China at all. But, you know, you're getting to a point where it's starting to recover. And I'm thrilled because if it does recover, I'm quite exposed to luxury and to Western companies that supply China that could do better. So I think you've got to start looking through everything and make your decisions. But you can't be taken down by Chainsaw Musk. Did you see that picture?
I re-watch it to make myself realize what an unhinged lunatic is the second most important man in the United States of America. He dances around, and he's got a gold chain on and a black T-shirt and a black jacket and black trousers. He's like a gangster, and he's got the big... In the old days, I used to wear glasses like that. They were Ray-Ban cats, the original Ray-Ban cats, and he's got a black cap on, and he sits having an interview, twitching and fiddling all the time. I'm sure he's on ketamine the whole time.
I don't know. I just think he's... I don't know what's wrong. I don't know. He's on the spectrum, whatever it is.
But, yeah, I keep on hearing that word spectrum. In the old days, he's a nutter, in other words.
Spectrum. You say that. I don't know. There are a lot of descriptions you can give. If you go into any school, you'll find 100 of those kids running around mad. Yes. I think he was one of them. But it is unhinging to watch this all unfold and believe that this is the United States of America, you know, who's supposed to be set the moral values. And they've just kind of discarded history and the value system that was set up. Or maybe they haven't. Maybe America has always been like this. I have my doubts.
But if it was like it, David, then it was in the background, beneath the surface, not on television. If it was Reagan. What you like about Reagan. He had a certain dignity about him. George W. Bush had a certain dignity as well. And even Clinton, for all his faults, the same thing. But these people don't care. And I find it very strange, and that's why I sent you that Emperor's New Clothes piece, and we don't need to go into it because I'm sure everyone knows the story, the Hans Christian Andersen story of the Emperor's New Clothes. Nobody will say that you're naked. You're not when he parades through the streets with this set of new clothes, which were made by a couple of con men weavers, and I think the con men are Putin and Musk as the analogy. And there's only one person that stands up and says, but he's not wearing any clothes. And that was the honesty and bravery of a child. And not one person in the Republican Party or the GOP, as they call it, will actually say to Trump, you're not wearing any clothes. This has got to stop. So I don't know. When will somebody actually stand up to Trump?
That's the worry. You know. Also, they've got no one to – there's no foundation on which they can kind of build any resistance to him because the Democrats – are in such disarray, that there is no opposition at the moment. He's just like Blitzkrieg. He's just going through what he has to do, you know, on this mission to rid the forces in Washington those evil forces that have been running Washington, the corruption and that. And you say, where does he get all of this? You know, where are these, you know, where are these corrupt forces and, that have been, you know, been destroying Washington? So I don't know. It's a very difficult time. I luckily enough, I go to bed at night, wake up, feel a little bit better in the morning. But you know, on the weekend, just listening to, you know, reading the reports of his 1.25-hour rant at this conservative party. CPAC. I don't know what to call it. Yeah, CPAC. I mean, you know, this has got all those chaps with mullets and tattoos and, you know, bear skin coats and I don't know. Just, you know, I don't know where they come from.
What would you, if you were a federal employee, David, you'd been in the job for 12 years or something, and on Saturday afternoon, you know, you're having a nice time with your partner, your family, whatever it is, and you receive an email from the desk of Elon Musk, and it says, as instructed by Donald Trump, we need you to fill in this questionnaire now. Yeah. Give us 5 bullet points of what you did last week, and if you don't answer, we will consider that your resignation. I mean, what would you do? You can't do that sort of stuff.
I mean, that's insane. You know, when I say insane, I'm not even...
He is insane.
I'm using the word in its true description. You know, this is... you can't do those kind of things. I mean, there's so many good people that make up the United States that sit behind the counter in the post office and help you when you need to send a parcel somewhere else. You know, there's just millions of these people who are just truly dedicated civil servants. And, you know, to treat them like this and to put them in this situation, I don't know. I just find it's untenable. And somewhere along the line, you know, this is going to implode.
It's going to end really, really badly, but hopefully not so much for the American people, and hopefully a lot for Trump, Musk, his sycophantic toads that support. They're toady sycophants. David, let's get back to South Africa now, because as I look at my screen, it all shares down a percent. It's all to do with Naspers and Prosus. Yeah. What on earth is going on there? €20.30 cash buyout for Just Eat, as far as I know.
I know. You know what? This is my biggest fear, that somewhere down the line this was going to happen. Mm. Having said that, they were going to consolidate what they already own and, you know, would look to improve the underlying businesses that they own and build up. Well, I suppose they can say this is an organic addition, but the price that they have paid for a couple of taps on a bicycle who deliver pizzas at 2 o'clock in the morning, I don't know, it just seems to be a little excessive. They have paid, you know, this company, Just Eat, was trading at about, 2.6. I just looked at the euro in Amsterdam. It was, 2,600 or something. And it's now gone up to 4.1. That's like a 50-60% increase that they're paying for this company. You know, when the announcement came out, I looked at I went onto my screen. I said, what's the market cap of this place? And that was, you know, I got this 2.6 odd. And I see they're paying 4.1. So I was trying to work out the reconciliation. This can't be happening. But they did. They paid ridiculous price for this place.
Which was the one that they tried to buy before? But
yes,
is this the same one? Just Eat has sat there and said, "Well, you know, these people have got to do a deal quite soon because they've got a lot of cash and a lot of leverage, and their shareholders are probably getting fed up with them not doing any deals elsewhere. So we just wait, and they get another couple of billion." As opposed to the original price that was first proposed years ago.
Years ago, they wanted to buy it at even a higher price.
Oh, okay.
They made a bid for around about, they had that hostile bid. You know, Just Eat was merging with this takeaway. You know, they were merging and Prosus wanted to come in and, you know, buy, I think, takeaway or one of them. But I can't remember which one of those two they wanted to. And it was a hostile bid, which they lost. But I think they had bid something like £4.9 billion and they increased it to, I think, £5.5 billion, which is significantly higher than the price that they're buying now. Now, that might be a positive, but it just shows you that the value of this place has gone down dramatically, which for me is a very scary proposition, because I think the combined company has had you know, its own issues. So they've come up and said, okay, now we can buy it. You know, we're going to do much better. I think, what are they? They did buy something else. They had a stake. They sold it. I'm trying to get my memory right and get all the facts. But I know that they did have some of this company, and they sold it a few years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I think, shortly after they lost out on the bid. And they had – not DoorDash. Oh, what's the other one they've got?
I don't know.
They've got another one, I think. I'll get it. Which they already hold, which is part of them. So I'm worried. You know, this concerns me when you start to buy these companies up at these massive premiums. And I don't know where you see this going and how you ever hope to recoup.
It's so easy for us to sit here and say, well, it's just a scooter business. It's more than that. It's quite a complex infrastructure they've got going there. But yeah. Are they trying to monopolize the delivery service by saying to the restaurants, listen, we'll give you this deal, but you can't be aligned to any other scooter company?
I don't know what it is.
What's their fascination with this thing and with classifieds? What? Why can't they find something else, like the old days when Naspers was quite innovative?
Yeah, it worries me, because I don't know. Maybe I'm at fault in that I don't know enough about food delivery services. I see plenty of, you know, you've got Woolworths now running around with ASOP, or that might be Pick and Pay, and then you've got 60-60. You know, a lot of this happens where you've got these door-to-door deliveries, and throughout the world people
which
are
a great service, I must say.
Lazy, yeah.
It makes us lazy, but it's a really good service.
Yeah, and your food comes pretty cold, because you're ordering at 2 o'clock on a cold winter's night, and Sprichep's got to go through the rain and everything to deliver it to you. You know, so for me, it's I know it's a convenience, and it's a lot of people do it, but is it a business that's going to give you huge returns on capital? You know, and what are the risks? What about the people that you employ? You know, are they individuals who just work on their own? I don't know. I know that Bill Ackman took a huge position in Uber, believes it's a phenomenal business because they finally started after so many years to break even, and it does. It gives them an incredible service. But you know, are these companies that are going to give you massive returns that you're getting now in some of the big high-tech businesses, from NVIDIA to Alphabet and so on? So I don't know.
When was the last time you ordered something from a company that is the equivalent in South Africa of Just Eat or Deliveroo? When was the last time you did it?
You can do it here. I don't know who you do it from, Uber Eats or whatever.
Yeah, but when was the last time you ordered food online?
No, I've never ordered it.
Never?
Never. No, I've never done that.
And Linda cook at home together?
A lot of people
what?
Do it. No, a lot of people do it.
Of course. I'm one of them, once a month.
Yeah, but I've never done it. I just shout out, Linda, and she...
That's very sexist, David. That's a terrible thing to say.
No. I did that on purpose.
I know you did, don't worry. Okay, so we got that, but everything's dominated by...
I worry about it. The shares are down 7%, and that's I think, a concern. The shares have done very, very well on the back of what's happening in China. Things are starting to improve there.
Mm.
People see the economy improving. They see a much more conciliatory tone coming from the authorities. And China could be looking cheap. You know, it is a communist country. You never know what's next. But things are starting to bottom. So
good.
My view would have been, stay with Tencent. Don't do anything. You know, just don't do anything there. Just leave it and go back. Buy a house down in Clifton or wherever it is and just sit there and close the company. And anyway, they're not going to do that.
Anything else on the corporate front in South Africa today? No, it's quite quiet. There's a cash build.
Sassel's results
came
out.
Oh, yes. That was the first thing this morning. They've done okay. They were 80 euros, rand a share. Now they're 90 or something. But still looks horrible.
It does look horrible, but I must say that when I went through the results, you know, it's only on the fuel side that they're suffering. On the chemical side, there's an improvement. Yes, it's still under pressure, but certainly improving trend. And, you know, on the mining gas side, those results look decent. So I need somebody who can help me on this, who understands the business, to say, okay, It was a terrible result on the fuels, you know, price, the rand price. There were issues with margin. There were issues with sales volumes and also with pricing. You know, the rand improved, which brought down their sales price. But, and also, of course, the oil price coming down. So can this turn around? You know, is there a chance that this can start to improve from these very, very low levels? There might be something. I don't know. But
why do you want someone to explain it to you, David? Is it because you're a potential investor in this particular company? Are you looking for a bargain?
I think that there might be. I'm not saying yes. What I'm trying to say is I need an informed opinion. Okay. You know, when you look at the pure results, they look awful. Mm. But you know, looking at the improvement in chemicals that can continue to improve, or maybe – you know, from losses in America to a profit, and also they've reduced their losses in Europe and Asia. Can this continue on that same trajectory? And, you know, even in South Africa, chemicals are steady. There's nothing brilliant about it, but I need someone to explain the fuels business and say, okay, can this turn around or is this trend going to continue? So there might be people who know a lot more than me. You know, that's why I'd say I wouldn't judge it and say this is the end of the company. I think there might be turnaround opportunities there. But speak to someone. You know, we've got to get a top class, you know, person who knows the company inside out.
Okay. And you don't worry that it's a fossil fuel company. If it was a bargain, you'd still buy it.
I do. No. I don't like fossil fuel companies. I don't like dirty companies.
Okay, good. No, I'm glad you said that.
I wouldn't buy it. No, I wouldn't buy it. But, you know, we've got to talk objectively here to everybody.
Mm.
But I don't like dirty. Even the mining side, I'm a bit skeptical about all of the miners and whether they do have the upside that we're all talking about. You know, no, I don't know.
All right. What else have we got to say? Macron is in Washington at the moment, or as the Americans call him, Macron. I don't know why they call him Macron. There's no E at the end of. Macron. It's Macron. But anyway, that's Americans. If you want to speak English, please, American people. and then we've got Starmer. He's going there on Thursday. And I wonder what they'll do. What would you do if you were the president or the prime minister of a European country and you're faced with Trump? Would you say, what are you talking about? Why are you saying that Zelensky is a dictator? Or would you say nothing about it? Would you defer to him? Would you be a simpering sycophant like so many people are?
No. I think that's why I don't know who the new party is in Germany. I know that they're forming a coalition.
Yes.
But I think the one point that is made is, you know, we've got to learn to be, not depend on America. You know, we've got to form a Germany that's a Germany, you know, and try and kind of extricate ourselves from America and, you know, invest in our own, in their own economy and also invest in our own defense. You know, and get spending going. They've got to do that. Mm. But I would never go in front of a man like Trump and be a sycophant and crawl to him. You know, he'll just eat you up.
The risk is if you don't, he'll say, right, I'm going to slap another 25% on David Shapiro's country's exports.
He's not going to do that because you've got to go there well prepared. And you've also got to go, you know, you've got to be able to match him and fight him and show up his – I don't want to say his intellect because he hasn't got intellect.
No, he hasn't. He's stupid.
Exactly. In other words, expose his stupidity.
Okay.
And you can do that by history, by things like that. You know, bring up history, bring up things like that because he can't argue that. So I think you've got to get him. You've got to be very, very well prepared because he sits there and just lets go. Don't let him be.
All right, well, markets seem to be doing what you want them to do, certainly not on the JSE today, but in America we've got the S&P up 0.4% as we pre-record this podcast, which is okay. As I said, tariff fatigue has set in and people say, so what? It's all bluster. we'll wait and see what happens. If he does introduce them, let's see what the effect is in 6 months' time. But for now, everything is fine. Thank you very much. David, we must move on to important matters. We had a depressing weekend, didn't we?
Yeah.
Football-wise. We both lost.
I did. I actually sat here in the dark on Saturday evening.
Oh, yeah.
I literally sat here because I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just said, it's over. Mm. You know when it's over and you realize I'm talking arsehole.
Yes.
I just, when I saw their performance, I said, it's over. They've got nothing. Their team was lazy. They came on. They never had any spirit. They didn't want to win. When you wanted to rely on them, they just never turned up. And they gave away an opportunity, you know, and that's it.
Yeah, so, I had the same situation. I didn't sit in the dark, but I sat there stupefied with depression because Ipswich are going down. Unfortunately, they went up.
Why do we feel that way? Why does it affect my mood? You know,
because you've invested in your team for decades. I've been an Ipswich supporter since Boxing Day 1974.
I wanted to,
I go back to 74, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I go back to 1953. Mm. But I just wanted to kick Arteta. I just wanted to go and beat him up. So you know, you had the opportunity, you know, he's just so arrogant. And I don't think he's going to last, you know that.
Well, I sent this to you. How long are Arsenal supporters going to put up with a manager who's clearly pretty good, but he hasn't won anything? He's never won anything.
And he's been close, you know. You can't, every time you're going to get close, you know, he just lets it down. He just hasn't got that edge. Maybe not experience, whatever it is. Anyway, that was that.
Yeah, that was that. Okay, David. I know when I'm depressed is when I can't look at the football headlines on a Monday morning because your team has lost. But anyway, it doesn't matter now.
I don't read it. The Guardian. I always read The Guardian. I never read it now.
Okay. David, thank you very much for your time as always. David Shapiro is from Sashen Securities in Johannesburg. And that was Shapiro World.
The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.